Live from Los Angeles, it's the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights. We'll be swimming.
With tonight's guest, head of Berkeley Hall School, Dr. Lyle Staley.
Look at the night sky. Look at the night sky.
And musical guest, Makita Tanay. I am Mark Legere, and now your host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
I am here. I am so present. I am so looking forward to this show. It's a conversation that has so long needed to be discussed, and this is the perfect guest and the perfect way to discuss it. And it's interesting. I was getting ready for the show, and I remembered a story. As a matter of fact, I remembered we're going to talk about education. We're going to talk about educators, and we're going to talk about children that are students in learning in elementary and middle school and high school. And so I myself started to think about the teachers, and I could tell you each teacher's name, and I could tell you some specific things about what I learned from them all the way to kindergarten and all the way up to the end of high school. And then I don't remember too many of my college teachers, but or university for that matter. And that's a whole other story. But I definitely remember the kids, the teachers that were good to me and to the other kids from whom I learned certain things, and who showed caring, who showed love. And it reminded me of something that I recently, you've all probably heard this, but in a book called A Life in Time, My Story, Joe Barfield actually references this in his introduction. And so I thought this would be a great place to just share this and follow along if you can. Think about it if you can. This is so relevant. Here we go. Who won the Super Bowl 10 years ago? How long are you going to need to come up with that answer? Some of you might have it. Who won the Indy 500 10 years ago? For that matter, who won it 3 years ago or five? Who won the World Series 4 years ago? Okay, you're getting the hint, right? Who were the best actor and the best actress of the Academy Awards 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 7 years ago? You might remember one, but you probably don't know the others. Now ask yourself these questions. Do you remember the names of some of your teachers? And as far as I'm concerned, you probably remember the names of all of your teachers. And you could say what I said earlier, what you learned and what you didn't, or how you connected and how they connected with you. And for that matter, I was starting to say what you didn't like and hopefully what you did like. So it's interesting how the hype is on the Super Bowl coming up and the World Series and the actor, the Academy Awards. But what about the teachers, the ones that we remember the rest of our lives and the ones who have shaped our thinking or our sense of being or our sense of self, and how we have learned certain things, the foundation? So today, to me, it's a celebration of that. And I don't know of a better school that does that with kids than Berkeley Hall School. And I've come to know them personally, and we'll talk about that a little bit later and then with our guest when we come back. I'm really excited. Looking forward to this.
True performance takes more than just working out. Every day we demand more from our body. But what does your body demand? Hunger is not your body's call for empty calories. It's your body asking for nutrients it's lacking. It's time to reward your body with Boku Superfood, made from the world's finest organic ingredients, vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and essential trace nutrients, all developed naturally and organically from nature's most nutrient-dense foods. Boku Superfood is quite possibly the best thing you can feed your body. So listen to your body. Reward it with pure, raw, beautiful food. Boku Superfood.
You are listening to the Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Marianne Williamson, Gary Anthony Williams, Sharon Stone, and Alex Gray on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com. Or you can visit us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
So I can't think of anything that's more life-changing than a teacher to a child.
Impact, you know, all those questions you were talking about, you know, taking in a sporting event, taking in a movie or TV, you know, those are meaningful in different ways to different people, especially if they're really into the subject. Mm-hmm. But unless it's, you know, a penultimate moment like the Miracle on Ice in the Olympics, you know, when the American hockey team won the gold medal, I don't think those translate to the type of impact that a teacher has on a child on an ongoing basis. Mm. And so it's a series of moments that are made. And that, you know, that's what I think you were calling to mind. You know, I certainly started calling back to many of my teacher moments.
We've
not all of them great.
We've actually talked about them.
So exactly. Bringing those to mind, and then thinking about stories I've heard, you know, from others, it really is it shines a light on how important this discussion is, how important the work that Berkeley Hall School is doing, and how important teachers are in general.
Yeah, can we say that your son goes to that school?
I think we just did.
Well, and that was the thing that I was impressed about the most, is watching him be excited to go to school and then telling others about it, telling me about it, saying, I go to a really cool school and my teacher this and this and this, and you know what they have and you know what we did. And you could tell I this is unprompted.
It's unprompted and it's sincere. And that has been the most amazing gift for me as a parent, for his mother as a parent. It is to see him genuinely get excited about getting out of bed in the morning and go to school. And it flips the story. It flips the plot on the kind of typical I hate school thing that we all either said, believed, or were told we should say or believe, because that's what the TV still shows us, and that's kind of just the way, and us schools work. And no, it doesn't have to be that way. And genuinely, that has been a different type of community has been created at Berkeley Hall. And I know there's many other schools doing beautiful work as well, but it's so important because I've seen it the opposite for him. I've been in the opposite for me. And I know there's many kids out here that don't have the blessing of this type of an opportunity.
So here I am, an innocent bystander, and watching your son just transform after only being there a short time. And then we start talking. It's like, what's going on over there? And then you're meeting all these great people out there. And then I wanted to meet them. It's like, so then I got to meet Lisa and Rick, and we'll talk about more about them in a little bit. And so it's just, and now it's like, what else can I do to help support what they're doing? It's understandable that the kids are excited. Look at their philosophy. Look at how they talk.
You know, we talk about.
And they walk their talk.
They walk their talk. They play their talk.
Nice.
They sing their talk. but truthfully, we talk about our show being something more, about something more. And this is what I have seen and felt and experienced from that whole community, from the Berkeley Hall community, from their philosophy. But truly, I started seeing it from the other parents. These people weren't just going through the motions. They actually knew each other's names. Spent time with each other outside of school.
Yeah.
They put energy into creating community. And that translates to the experience when you drive up in the morning, to the good mornings that are there. It's not kind of a let's go through the motions and get out of there as quick as possible, which I think is so often the experience in this type of environment.
Yeah, actually, that reminds me that the very first time that we had a meeting and you said, you know what, I have a Berkeley Hall meeting today, and I'm like, oh, okay, that's different. So we had to postpone, and then something else came up, and like, I can't because I've got a Berkeley Hall something or other. And I'm like, what is this? What's going on over there? And it's not like the kid, you know, is your kid okay? It's like, oh yeah, no, this is just the dads. This is just the parents. It's just like, whoa. It's like you were right in this community as well. This is like, this is your school.
Yeah, I really wanted to be more present in his upbringing, but Berkeley Halls has really given me the opportunity to step up, and has been a reward that way. It has been genuinely fun, and has wanted me, you know, has allowed me or has empowered me to want to do it more. And yeah, so.
So you're going to miss more of our meetings.
Right.
Okay. Well, with that, actually, we're going to break to a commercial, and we come back. We'll talk more about Berkeley Hall. And actually, a little later on, we're going to have a really, really special treat. And interestingly enough, we met our musical guest thanks to Berkeley Hall School. And that's just the way they are, is bringing people together. And here we are. We are together with our very special musical guest who will be on a little later. And Makita Tanay, she brought me to tears when I heard her in rehearsal, and can't wait to share her with all of you when we come back right after this.
Listen to these words. He would not be beat by forces too fierce for man, woman, or beast. As the going got tougher, his courage increased. It's a little story with a big message, a message that speaks to children of all ages. It's about believing in yourself, overcoming obstacles, and never giving up. It's been called a masterpiece, one of the finest children's books ever written, and a true children's classic. Shadow Stevens has been called Dr. Seuss for the 21st century. His big little book, The Big Galoot, is a story about bullying. Bullying has become an American epidemic, and The Big Galoot talks about it in a way that will touch the heart of a child of four and a grandfather of 104. It's the story of a little boy with size 42 hands, the biggest hands anyone has ever seen. And the kids laugh at him, then the laughter turns mean. They mock him and trip him, and much worse. But throughout it all, Warren Galoot says, "I'm a galoot, but I have good luck. You can't get me down, I never give up." A second grader named Chandler said, "I thought it was the best funny book I have seen in my life." And we agree. Whoopi Goldberg said, "This is a great story. Bravo, Shadow." The Big Galoot is available now as an ebook exclusively on Kindle Fire on Amazon for only $3.98. We strongly urge you to get it for your children, your children's children, or as a gift to yourself. Its message speaks to all of us. Have good luck and never give up. Go to Amazon.com and search for The Big Galoot by Shadow Stevens.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as The Green Children, Dan Millman, Hot Rod Fuller, and Mike Marino, on our archive page at lifechangesnetwork.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back, and we just had to do this. We have guests in the studio, and Dr. Staley is going to be on with us in a little bit. And now she is the schoolmaster, the head of school. However, I got to meet Lisa Taylor, and she's the director of communication. And so I thought it would be special if we had her on and got to talk to her, because we had a special connection because she's also a singer. So welcome to the show. Thank you for being on with us.
It's really nice to be here. You guys are the absolute best. There's so much warmth in this studio, and it's palpable. So thank you.
Thank you for having me here.
Thank you for being here.
Well, it's mutual, and that's what I felt when I came to the school. And I should say, this is the first time I walk in the school, and the smiles and the hellos and the welcomes and...
There's an atmosphere there, and mm-hmm. I think when parents come on the campus, you hear often people saying, "There's a feeling here. There's something. There's a peace here. Mm-hmm. There's something that I'm feeling when I come on campus." And I think there's a grounding to that. There's a foundation to that in thought that that really establishes it for everybody, and it's part of the whole premise of Berkeley Hall, which I know we'll get into.
Yeah, and we definitely want to talk about that. Thought. And obviously not everybody's child is in Los Angeles, and not everybody's child even in Los Angeles can come to the school. However, what we thought was important is, first of all, celebrating somebody that's doing it right, and to also share what some of those right things are, so others could say, oh, we could do that at our school, or
absolutely,
that's a great way of thinking of it. Yeah. As well. And so what are some of those thoughts
well,
that we can
one
put
of the
out?
Things that's kind of a buzzword in education right now, the growth mindset, which is really seeing students not as having a fixed intelligence, but having unlimited potential,
yes.
which is something that Berkeley Hall really was founded on in 1911 by the Mabel and Layla Cooper, the Cooper sisters. And they started out with a phrase, no limits, no labels, and lots of love. That was the foundation of what they based Berkeley Hall on. And that has continued for years, obviously, over 100 years since then. And it's something that's become very in the vogue now in education, the kind of growth mindset. But that's what Berkeley Hall was based on, is seeing really the unlimited God-given potential of every student. And if you're a teacher in a classroom and you're viewing a child as having unlimited potential, you're bringing that out from them. You're expecting the absolute best from them. You're not putting a label on them and putting a limit on them. So Lyle actually, and I don't want to take Lyle's thunder, but I've heard her mention many, many times that when she goes into the faculty room, she never hears teachers talking ill of the students. And she said it's the first time she's worked in a school where that's happened. And I think that says a lot about the teachers at Berkeley Hall.
Wow.
Yeah.
One of the things that I was thinking about while you were saying this, and you know this better than I am sure, but the studies that have been done, how the expectation of the teacher on the students, well, I'll let you go on because that's a big nodding of yes.
Yeah. I mean, if, you know, there's that classic study, and I don't remember the name of it, but where, you know, the teacher was told these are students who have really failing grades and low achievers. And as it turns out, that's how they ended up doing. It happened to be a class full of high achieving students, but the teacher's expectation that they would not achieve, that played out, and vice versa. A teacher was told that her class of students was very high achievers. In fact, they were some of the lowest achieving students in the school, and they ended up being very high achievers in this class based solely on the teacher's expectations. So I think it does have what you bring to the table as a teacher and how you're viewing each student has a huge effect on what happens in the student's life in the classroom.
The closest thing I remember in school that could come anywhere close, and it's not even close, and yet that alone had an effect on me, was a teacher in high school who in his class, I think it was biology, or it was biology, he said, everybody starts off with an A. And he showed us the book where next to our name, there were A's. And he says, now it's up to you to keep that A. And that's like, it was like, what a juxtaposition of, oh God, I have to get an A where I already have an A.
Yeah. Coming at it from the top instead of from the bottom.
Right.
I think it really is a philosophy for life in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think we can approach life as coming from perfect experience, or we can come at it from absolute, the base, most horrible thing, and we're sort of groveling and clawing our way up to what we want it to be. And if we come at it thinking that we have the capacity to be whatever we want to be, no matter what that is in our dream, and you're going to achieve it.
So here I was excited about, I started off with an A, when you all are telling children that they're unlimited.
Yeah.
You're starting off as unlimited.
Yeah. Mark, did you get a sense of it when you first came in to Berkeley Hall? Did you feel a difference when you came on the campus?
I did. And, you know, Judd's mother found the school, and I'm so grateful to her for that. But I mention it because I wasn't familiar with Berkeley Hall. So it was a really organic learning process for me. And being in the consciousness that we're in here at Life Changes, it was a magical process because I was seeing and feeling things that were completely in alignment. And it made it even that much more magical because of those types of things. But then also reading and seeing the you know, some of the placards in the common rooms and in the teachers' rooms and the affirmations. And there's just such a unity, honesty and integrity is built in throughout the campus.
Yeah,
it's really
we
wonderful.
Have four core values that we help the students articulate and cultivate as they spend their time there. honesty, compassion, responsibility, and respect. Mm. And we have a non-religious chapel every Monday where it's sort of an inspirational time for the students. And these ideas are shared and nurtured every Monday and then expected to play out through the week. So they're, the kids are actively expressing these core values in their day-to-day. There, you know, there was a there's a little story that a mom told just recently. She showed up late to her son's basketball game, and she was so sorry to be late. And she, as she came into the gymnasium, it was an away game because I think she'd gotten lost or something. All the kids were swarming around this one student and cheering and having a wonderful time. And she realized that the little child in the middle was her son. And he had just made his first basket. And this was well into the season. He wasn't a great player, but the whole team, when he made his first basket of the season, the whole team just swarmed around him and supported him, because that's what we do. That's what the kids, they want to support. They want to have that sense of compassion and that sense of uplift. And it's just really neat to see it in action, you know?
Wow, that story got me.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. There was, well, I can tell one other one that I just heard recently too. There was a spelling bee, and it was a tough spelling bee, right down to the wire, two neck and neck. One person won, one person came in second. And one of the teachers who was in the lunch line afterwards noticed that this child, one of the children, was turning around and shaking the other one's hand. And she had just asked him, you know, did you just come out of the spelling bee? And said, yes, I came in second. And he was turning around and shaking the hand of the child who had just beaten him and come in first place and saying, congratulations, you came in first place. Mm-hmm. And I just think that's just so dear, you know, that the kids are having that kind of respect and support of each other.
And it's just not common. And that's what I see in the Berkeley Hall community and what I've really always aspired to try to empower wherever I've had the ability to affect. Because I think we've lost our connection to the individual a bit in the system. The system's so much about exit exams and tests and standardization and then there's an immediate label or limit, right, placed on the individual if they didn't fit into that box. And then you're taking, it's like trying to get a Windows computer and a Mac computer to run the same program sometimes. They think differently. And unless you tune and or recognize, and which obviously then taps into the emotional response in them of either feeling not enough or feeling like a failure or all these other things. And so it's huge to me to see what all of you are doing at Berkeley Hall to be a part of that and to be here on the show to be able to bring that out to the community so that that can inspire others to be doing
the
same.
One of the things that again, I've heard Lyle say many times is that, you know, the academic rigor and schools that have the academic rigor and schools that have a very warm and supportive atmosphere, those two things don't have to be mutually exclusive. Mm. They can exist in the same place, as you're saying, Mark.
They
That there's no reason why we can't have both a very warm and nurturing environment and incredible rigor academically. There's no reason we can't do that. We can have it all. You know, we can have it all. There's no reason why we can't.
There's that unlimited thing.
There's that unlimited thing again. You can't get away from it. Yeah, the way the teachers see the kids, I think, you know, during the developmental years when a child is looking to an adult to, you know, how can I say this? When, you know, when you've been having a hard time and you want to get together with your best friend and you look at them and you see yourself in their eyes and they remind you of who you are because they see you clearly. Mm-hmm. I think children do that a lot of times where they're looking to see, how is the adult seeing me? I want to learn who I am through how they're seeing me. And if you have teachers who are spending a lot of time with these children during the day, a lot of their waking hours are spent at school, and you have teachers who are seeing their absolute best and seeing who they really are deep inside, the children are reflecting that back. They're seeing it in the teacher's eyes and they're reflecting it back, and they're getting to know that part of themselves in the process, which is really, really powerful.
Lisa, I have a sense. You tell me how accurate my sense is.
Okay.
I have a sense that the children are reflecting to their parents a way that the parents want to be in their lives as well when they leave your school?
I would hope so. I mean, I can't, I guess I imagine there couldn't be any other way. Mm. You know, if the child is seeing who they really are mm-hmm. when they're at school, when they go home, they're going to be reflecting that and their parents are going to see it. And hopefully the parents will see it in the child's eyes. And as Mark said, you know, when his son is getting out of bed and can't wait to go to school, mm-hmm. there's evidence of it there.
But and it's affecting the parents in a positive way.
I think so. I mean, but the one of the things that I loved what you said is that this isn't just something that could happen at Berkeley Hall. Mm. I mean, that this it's lovely to have Berkeley Hall out in the forefront on this show, but this can happen anywhere. This can happen because it is based in thought. It is based mm-hmm. in a sense of who we are and who the children are, and it's a thought shift as opposed to sort of a curricular, academic, programmatic shift. Mm-hmm. And that's something that can happen in an instant, which is great.
Which is interesting because Dr. Staley's foundation is in the academia, very much so. And in that structure. And yet here she's bringing that and taking in the philosophy and using it in a way that maybe should be a model for.
Well, definitely. I mean, when Lyle came 4 years ago, she really brought a sense of academic rigor to the school and has established a reading program that's based on the Columbia Reading Program. She's brought in mentors and tutors and specialists who have really changed and ratcheted up the program to the point where we're really starting to be seen as an example, which is wonderful, but at the same time, keeping that warm atmosphere, which is something that Lyle felt very strongly about when she came in. She didn't want to be seen as somebody coming in to change everything and make this sort of a hardcore school, academically very rigorous, but still that very supportive atmosphere. She's doing a lot of work in aligning the program through the grade levels and doing making sure that the tests that the children are taking for that sort of the state tests and that we are in alignment with the state curriculum and the core programs that need to be in alignment. I don't want to speak for Lyle, though, because she is obviously much more articulate about that than I.
Well, since we're setting an example, here you can go to, we're talking about Berkeley Hall School, and you can go to berkeleyhall.org and see some of it for yourself, at least on the internet, at berkeleyhall.org, berkeleyhall.org. And tell me if we think this is a great direction, because I'm so inspired. I'll tell you this. I remember when my parents' friends had children who were in high school and we were still children, and they were doing all kinds of things that weren't necessarily model behavior. And my parents' friends said to my mother, "You'll see. When your kids get to high school, they'll be the same way." And my mother, I remember her saying to her friend, "No, they won't." And none of us were. My mother and father had four children, and of which I was one of them. And that's a joke. anyway, never mind.
So you're still doing things that aren't necessarily
I didn't
model.
Learn comedy.
timing.
But we weren't like that at all. And so,
what do you attribute that to, though?
My parents.
Saying something, doing something, having the belief that you wouldn't be?
Their model. They were models to us. And so what I'm attributing this conversation in my mind is here is a model. Model teachers that encompass these thoughts that you shared and more that we'll talk about when we come back, and the students modeling that, and may this be a model for other schools so that parents can't just say, "Oh, well, all schools are like this." No. Or all kids are like this, or they're all... No. Here we are. Let's look at this. And maybe we can change that thought as we move forward as well, thanks to you all being here. So we'll talk more about that when we come back here on Life Changes right after this.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
You are listening to the Life Changes Show live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Mariel Hemingway, Shadow Stevens, Gary Zukav, and Kyle Cease, on our website at lifechangesshow.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and at Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We are back and we are having a great time and learning so much, and I hope you all are too. We have been talking to Director of Communications at Berkeley Harrell School, Lisa Taylor. Now, interestingly enough, we were going to have Dr. Lyle Staley join us right now, who's the head of school. We are having such a great conversation that didn't need to happen. And interestingly enough, Dr. Lyle got called away. So we are here to continue our conversation.
I'm so happy. I'm sure that Lyle would have loved to have been here. She did get called away, and we do apologize for that. So I'm happy to be here, and it's lovely to talk with you.
And it's perfect because you were just coming here to support and take pictures, and here you are. You are the picture. You are the picture, the model of what we are talking about. And I have to say that because when you greeted us, or I'm able to say that because you greeted me personally and Dorothy when we came to the school, and right away we connected. I felt like I didn't even open my mouth, and you're like, I got you.
Yeah, totally. Yes, and it's really nice to be here in your domain.
Well, and that you've used the word model a couple of times, but I think it's so important because there's a difference. I've been around schools or institutions that say that they do something or are something so often, right? Yeah. And there's a big difference. There's a lot of smart marketing people out there that can paint the right colors or use the right catchphrases or represent the right story, but there's an energy, there's an authenticity that lacks often. And that energy and authenticity is within Berkeley Hall, within yourself, the Rick Fields who helped put this all together, Dr. Lyle Staley, entire Berkeley Hall community that I've been, as I've said, very gratefully become a part of. So that to me is the model, that there's truth to what's being told and to those pillars. They're not just on a piece of paper or in a book somewhere that don't get referred to that often.
Yeah, the truth is the foundation of the school, part of the charter is that all of the teachers have to be students of Christian Science. And though we are a non-religious school completely, and we don't teach religion in any way, there is a foundation of thought that stems back to that grows out of that, which really is a scientific way of thinking. And that includes that sense of limitlessness and the allness of good and the allness of intelligence and mind and soul and spirit. I mean, we can go through sort of the synonyms of the divine, but that's at the foundation of what every teacher and every employee is thinking and is trained and brought up to think in that way. And if you have a whole group of people who are thinking from that place, it's a very different approach to life, just to everything. If a challenge comes up, it's not, oh man, you know, it's let's find the solution. We know there's a solution there. Let's find it. It's not, it's again, coming in at it from the top instead of coming at it from the bottom.
You actually talk at the school about the students as it's not just they're learning math or they're learning English. They're learning something for life about themselves, right?
Yes.
And though we've obviously touched on it in many ways, is there an actual mission statement or something about the child that when they go out into the world or this is who...
Well, that we that we want them to be fearless scholars and conscientious citizens, and that's kind of the tag of our mission statement.
Yeah,
that to fulfill their unlimited God-given potential as fearless scholars and conscientious citizens, and that really is what we're doing. That's really what we're doing.
There it
and
is.
That's you know, to be world changers, to go out into the world, and to think of themselves as someone who really can go out and make a difference. To do something just as themselves, just because of who they are. There's no one else like them in the world. You know, there's one of them. And they are unique and they are special and they have everything that they need to go out and change the world. And if every student were coming out of the school thinking that about themselves, imagine, you know, how much change we could affect.
We are imagining.
Yeah.
Yes, we're imagining it.
We're
witnessing. I had the fun of being part of the variety show production.
Yeah.
And this was the first place that I really got to witness that kind of courageous mindset of these kids. It was not just the talent show and that, but they came in with a different fervor than I was used to with young kids. And there's kind of a certainty. At whatever level of their talent wasn't the relevance. It was that they came in proud to be there and they were going to bring whatever they had to bring.
Yeah.
And that is unique.
Yeah, one of the things that the school, I think, is really good at is giving kids the opportunity to be in front of other people and either performing or speaking or, you know, public, being in front of a group. And there's so many opportunities from a very early age on up. And so by the time you get to a variety show where it's really their choice, do they come in and do something? No child is turned away to do the variety show.
Oh.
Anyone who wants to do something can do something. And they come in and they do really magical and fun things. There were such a variety of acts this year that were really kind of cracked me up. I mean, anything, all sorts of things. But I think, as you're saying, Mark, you can see the light that's coming out of each child where they're happy. They're happy to their core, and they're expressing that either in the classroom or on stage or in the musical production. They just did Disney's High School Musical as the junior high production, which was fabulous. So there, you see the expression of these core values and of these core qualities and that thought shift that you were talking about. You see it on a day-to-day basis. You see it in the classroom. You see it around campus. The kids are happy. They're friendly. They say hi to people who are coming on campus for the first time. And I've actually heard that several times that, wow, these kids said hi to me when I walked by and they didn't know me, or they're very outgoing. And I think that comes from a sense of confidence.
Confidence.
You know, that they're settled and they know themselves well enough. They feel comfortable. It's a very safe, comfortable atmosphere. So the kids feel really safe. And I think that allows them to sort of spread their wings and try things and not worry about making a mistake or failing.
You mentioned a scientific thought process. And of course, that rings a bell with me because I come out of technology and years of, you know, really cutting edge innovation in that. But that's how I started learning about things like field science. So I wanted to mention this because I think that we're just now, as a society, starting to understand the truth of heart science and the energy field that is around the individual. And there's real truth to what we're carrying in our vibration, in our state of being, and our kids in our state of being. And it translates over to the proverbial kicking the cat or not. You know, when people are in a state of fear or anger or apprehension, that is immediately handed off into to whoever they come in contact with, other kids, their parents,
absolutely,
their caretakers. And so flipping the coin to the positive side of that, if they're happy, they're confident, they're courageous, that is being lit in within whoever they're coming in contact with. That's truly evident.
Yeah. Part of the preparation for the day, I think, is just aligning our thought with what is true. aligning our thought with the divine, with your absolute, unlimited, God-given potential. You know, what is the core of your being? Mm. And if you're lining your thought up with that, you know, like
unlimited.
Everything is possible. Everything is possible. And the kids feel it, you know, the adults feel it. I mean, I feel that the warm embrace when I'm working there. Mm-hmm. I feel it from my coworkers. I feel it from the kids. I mean, I think it's all what, I mean, as you're saying, Mark, you know, the scientific reality is what you focus on expands. That's real.
Wow.
And if you're focusing on the problem, you're just making the problem bigger. If you're focusing on the solution, if you're focusing on what a child potentially can give, as opposed to, oh my gosh, they just did that wrong and they did that wrong, and oh, they're limited in this way because they can't do this or that. Mm. If you're focusing on the potential, the unlimited God-given potential, which is in every child, every man, woman, and child, every person, you're opening up the possibility of that being manifested in this realm, of everybody seeing it, not only themselves, but everyone around them. So when you focus on it, you focus on the possibility, you focus on the potential, you focus on God's perfect child. What parent doesn't want to hear that their child has perfection within them, that that's part of their nature? What parent wouldn't want to hear that about their child? And that that's what we're trying to bring out. If every teacher on the planet did that, how cool, right?
You know, it's so powerful to talk about it from the parent-child relationship and the community relationship. But something came to mind, which would be an adult analogy, but I think is so powerful to that mindset, the unlimited mindset. But the first when the first four-minute mile was run, prior to that, it was seemingly impossible.
Yeah.
And yet, after that record was broken, it happened again and again and again.
Right.
Because the mindset of what was possible changed.
Yeah.
And it moved a variety of other runners into that state of,
yeah, this is possible.
I can.
Yeah.
And so when you're doing that as to children, to setting that unlimited, this is possible, as opposed to, no, you can't do that. No, you can't, you know, you can't go there. You can't, no, and that's for next year. Or you have to be a certain age. Or those are just limit after limit after limit.
Yeah, and the thing that's cool about kids is they don't have all those preconceived limits. They're taking their cue from us as to what, how they should be limited or not. And if we're not putting those limits on them, they're not learning them. Therefore, they don't have them, because they're only going to learn them from us, from the adults. And if the adults aren't doing it, then they're free. And I think that's the thing. It's like having the choice to let go of limits. I think having the choice, having the freedom to allow yourself to let it go. You don't have to hold on to it. It's always a choice whether you accept a limit about yourself or not. Always. We can choose not to. We can choose to let it go. And I won't burst into song. Sorry.
I was going to say cue music.
Maybe next time. Lisa, it has been a pleasure.
Oh, this was such a surprise. And I'm delighted that you invited me in. And I'm sorry that Lyle couldn't make it. I'm so sorry that she couldn't be here. She's extremely articulate. And I wish I could speak as articulately as she does. But this has been a real pleasure for me.
I've had the pleasure of speaking to her on the phone, but I look forward to meeting her. But you now, I've had the pleasure of connecting with now a couple times, and I look forward to much, much more.
To be continued, as I like
love
to say.
I love what you shared.
Thank you.
And this is exactly the message that needed to be shared today. So there are no mistakes.
Thank you.
Thank you. And in the spirit of how Berkeley Hall gives, They gave us an introduction to a beautiful person and a beautiful voice. And that voice we will hear when we come back. It will be the voice of Makita Tenay right after this.
The Life Changes Show is a premier radio show presented by the Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people, celebrities, corporate giants, and children, we are here to help and to serve with heart, integrity, and experience.
We bring our message and positive intent into your lives through the Life Changes Show, lifechangesnetwork.com, and through guest appearances on other inspiring shows and events. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching, a private consultation with one of us, corporate or live event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, please email us at info@lifechangesnetwork.com.
We are back, and we are just buzzing with excitement in the studio from Berkeley Hall. And again, I'll say berkeleyhall.org. From Berkeley Hall School, we got to meet with Director of Development Rick Fields, who was kind enough to share his excitement for a young lady that he had recently met. And now we share in his excitement after having met Makita Tanay. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. Such an honor.
Look at that smile. That laugh.
Feel that smile.
Sweet. I love
y'all. Seriously. And when we talked about you being on the show, what, 4 days ago, she said, oh, I'd like to write a song about life changes.
I did. And I wrote it on Friday.
And you're going to present it to the world through our show tonight.
Yes, the first time ever. It will be debut tonight. That's the second song I'll do.
Well, we heard it, and you almost had me in tears, and now I think you're going to push me over the edge. First of all, you are not here alone, and I'd like to try this. Obina Isaiah Ayuku.
Close enough.
That was polite. He did try to tell me, just say Obi. Okay, tell me.
Obina Eze Ajoku.
He says it so beautifully. And that is a Nigerian name, and Makita's is an Ethiopian name. But you're from...
I'm from Georgia.
Georgia, okay.
I'm a Southern girl.
Okay. Actually, your journey has been an amazing one. I have heard you sing opera, jazz, Broadway, and I know you graduated summa cum laude from Pepperdine University.
I did. You know, I didn't want to come out here to be a struggling artist. Even this is what I do. But I said, let me go ahead and get my degree so that I can always have that education. Psychology has always been a passion. And I can always, you know, make money while I pursue my dream of acting and music and all of this.
And in the spirit of Unlimited, let me graduate the number one in my class. That's what you did.
Okay. Unlimited, right?
Well, okay. Well, I wish we had time to hear all of your styles, but we're going to give everybody a taste, and then they're just going to have to go to makitatene.com, and I'll spell that, makedatene.com. You're dancing while I'm saying that.
I can't stay still. I don't know. I have this thing about me.
She dances to her own name. Well, what are we going to hear today?
The first song we're going to do is Scarborough Fair. Now, it's one of, you know, the oldies from England long, long time ago. And I love it because the basis is sometimes in love, we put all these stipulations on people. And if you do this for me, you do that for me, I'll love you. And it's not all about that. You know, it's about knowing the heart, knowing the person. But this song is so funny to me because both of them are giving each other impossible tasks and saying, only if you do this, then you can be my love. But it's just, you know, to me, love changes everything.
There, you've said it all. Accompanied by Obi at the keyboards, here is Makita Tanay singing Scarborough Fair in a way you've never heard it before.
Are you going to remember me? He asked me to make him a cambric shirt, parsley seed, rosemary, and thyme, without any seam or needlework. And then he said, she'll be a true love of mine, then she'll be a true love of mine. Well, tell him to buy me an acre of land, parsley seed, rosemary, and thyme, between the salt water and the sea land. Then he'll be a true love of mine. Then he'll be a true love of mine. When he has done and finished his work, parsley, seed, rosemary, and thyme, tell him to come and he'll have his shirt. And then he'll be a true love of mine. Then he'll be a true love of mine. Tell me, are you going to Scarborough Fair? Parsley seed, rosemary, and thyme. To the one who lives there, for once he was a true love of mine. Once he was a true love of mine.
You know, earlier Obi said she's dangerous, and just in the laughter alone in the middle of the song, I'm like, oh yes, she is, in a very good way. Thank you. That is an amazing performance of that piece.
Thank you so much. I love that. It just gives me like, ooh, when I hear that song, it just gives me goosebumps.
It gave us that too, just like that.
You because she sings her entire body, her being, and her smile, and her everything is front and center.
Absolutely. And I understood that song for the first time ever. I never understood. I still don't understand the rosemary, parsley, and
me either. I'm still trying to figure that part out. It just sounds nice.
But the rest of it, thank you. You really brought it home. Thank you. And I also understood why you have been compared to Kathleen Battle, because you have this trained classical voice and this rawness that you bring together like she does in her gospel and her spirituals. So, wow, now I get that too. So here it is, live at Life Changes. Now, for the piece de resistance.
Yes, the second song, Love Changes Everything.
Is that what it's really called?
Yes, it's Love Changes Everything.
Okay.
Yeah, it is. And so I wrote it on Friday, and I was talking to Mark, and I said, Mark said, he told me about the theme of the show and that we wanted to have original things and positiveness. And I said, why don't I just write one? He said, you only have a couple of days. You sure? I said, yeah, let me try. I'll write one. So we wrote it on Friday, and then Saturday we got together and put the music together.
Music. I saw the scribbled notes you're calling music.
Poor Obi over there. Do something with it.
Well, he's gonna, and it's great. And here it goes. Without further ado, love changes.
Love changes everything.
Yes. Makita Tene.
Life has
has changed for me the way I used to be. The girl back then made silly faces, didn't take life seriously. She thought that love was true in books and fairy tales, and prayed to see her shining knight riding on horse and tails. Oh, love changes everything for me. Look inside and you'll see all the beauty of my soul. Hold me close, don't let go. I'll never give up on you, 'cause I know your love is true. From this moment we stand facing life hand in hand. Strong yet simple man, no coat and tail or stallion horses. You had your five-year plan. You took me in your arms despite all that I said. Your confidence, persistent ways, I followed and you led. Oh, love changes everything for me. Look inside and you'll see all of the beauty of my soul. Hold me close, don't let go. I'll never give up on you, 'cause I know your love is true. From this moment we stand facing life hand in hand. It's not that easy to believe that a love like this could be. We can stand the test of time. I am yours and you are mine. Love changes everything for me. Look inside and you'll see all of the beauty of my soul. Don't let go. I'll never give up on you, 'cause I know your love is true. From this moment we stand facing life hand in hand.
My heart is applauding.
Bravo. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Makita Tenay, first of all, you set a new standard, and from now on, every musical guest has to write a song for the show.
72 hours before the show. Part of the requirement.
We'll give them more than 3 days.
And Obi. Bravo.
Yes,
you're just as dangerous.
Obi arranged it, actually. So after I gave him the notes, he just put all of those wonderful arpeggios and just did his thing.
Well, the two of you together. Awesome. And, you know, the two of you show up here smiling and beautiful and bringing your bright energy and all. And yet I know that you both have stories that have gotten you here that are inspirational and difficult. And you're in your unlimited way. Mm-hmm. Here you are showing what beauty can look like through your voices and your music. And so thank you for that.
Thank you. Thank you.
And I look forward to getting to explore that more together in the future. Do you have a CD yet?
I have a CD, but I'm working on a new one.
Okay.
So this year it will come out hopefully by summer, July 2015. That's the goal.
Okay.
So Makita Tenay. I'll put it on my website.
Makita Tenay, love changes everything, and you've changed us today. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
With that, I am Filippo Voltaggio reminding you, as your life changes, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.